So our theme for this morning is liminal life. Liminal is the space between. It's the intersection. And I remember my first recollection of being in that liminal space, kind of like limbo. I was raised Catholic, and we had these places that the soul would go after you died, and you were in purgatory if you were, if you had some sins to work out and some time to do in service, and you had to suffer for a while. Purgatory was the place. And if you were okay, you'd just go straight to heaven. But if you weren't baptized, then you were in this sort of strange place called limbo, which never really made much sense, but it was there, just the non-space. So I remember when I was in high school, I was sort of in that liminal space. I wasn't a kid anymore, but I wasn't fully grown. I was, as an adolescent, I was trapped in this body, in this space. And I wasn't athletic, so I didn't have the social interaction. I wasn't very skillful at moving this body around, so I couldn't, I wasn't on the football team or a basketball player. I was socially inept, so I didn't have a lot of friends and didn't get invited to the parties. My folks weren't rich, so I didn't have a car. I was stuck, when I could see all the possibilities. Everybody around me seemed to be having this great life, and I was trapped, hoping that someday, things would get better. So I was certain someday they had to get better. So my experience of the liminal space, limbo then, was not very positive. It was kind of, not a good place to be. Well, it's taken me a lot of time, a lot of years, to recognize the opportunity that I missed by not paying attention to that liminal space, to being in limbo, and the advantages that come from that. Because this is where everything happens. This is the juicy part. When we're in the liminal space, in between the past and the future, in between what has happened and what might happen, there's this unknown thing that is this moment, this present moment. And I think it's interesting, we talk about the present moment, and the moment is a present, isn't it? It's a gift. This is where our life is taking place. And it's always a liminal moment. It's always between what has happened and what's going to happen. Right in that moment, in between, this is where our life happens. And we look at the metaphors for this. Now Jesus, we just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ, and remember the metaphor for this is Christ's consciousness, this consciousness that is within each one of us is reborn anew, and we have an opportunity to honor and acknowledge that and to work from that consciousness. This is the consciousness of the wholeness of our oneness with all of life, our oneness with God, our inseparable wholeness. So, and it always happens, of course, they place this right after the winter solstice, the celebration, so the days start to get longer, we start moving toward more light, longer days, moving toward spring, toward renewal, rebirth, and so there's no accident that Christmas comes at this particular time. So we have this rebirth, and we think about Jesus, and in the story, his story sort of starts off, in most of the Gospels, starts off with him meeting John the Baptist and being baptized and then beginning his ministry. Well, he didn't just meet John the Baptist and go down to the water and become baptized and decide, okay, I'm going to go out in the desert now. And he had to have studied with John the Baptist. He had to have studied with this hermetic teacher for some time before he was initiated. This is the way things work. And so we don't have that story, but we know from inference that this is what must have happened. So his cousin, John the Baptist, is a teacher, and he's a teacher that's not part of the regular routine. He's not part of the normal Jewish tradition. He's outside of that. He's saying that it's possible for us to have a direct experience with God. And this is rebellious. This is heretical. The Jewish tradition at that time said, you come to the priest, and you come with an offering, which you buy, which is a sheep or a dove or some animal that we're going to sacrifice and offer to God in order to appease him, because he's out there, and you can't just do this for yourself. The priests know the routine. They know the rituals. They know the way to be able to get God's attention and how to do this process. And so we have this intermediary to intercede for us. John the Baptist comes along and says, God's everywhere, and you can have a direct experience with God, and wow, this is you know, a problem for the tradition, for the Jewish tradition, for the rabbis and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So Jesus had to be studying with John the Baptist for some time before he finally took this initiation and had this baptism. And at the point of this initiation and this baptism, he recognized he had this experience, this new beginning, which says, you know, I don't have to be the way everybody else is, and has this opening in consciousness. And in order to actualize this, he goes into a liminal space. He goes between the old self, before he was initiated, and the new self, which is a teacher. In between, he goes into the desert and he spends 40 days and 40 nights in seclusion. This is a very, this is a traditional process that teachers go through. They go outside of the world. They go out, away, and they rest in this liminal space, this in-between place, in order to allow this consciousness, this experience, to become grounded, this awakening to become grounded and to become a permanent part of their experience of what they are and what the world is. And so Jesus goes away and he spends this time in this liminal space and comes into this deeper awareness, this deeper realization of what he is and what's really going on around here. And then he comes out of that, and the last piece is this temptation. He recognizes, because of his understanding of the way things work, how consciousness expresses through our own awareness and manifests as a result of what we envision, what we see, what we believe in, that this process gives him the power, the ability, to have whatever he wants. That he can create any reality, that he can have, he can be the king, the ruler, he can have money, wealth, fame, he can rule the world, literally. He sees this, and this temptation, this recognition that this is possible, is what is, you know, referred to in the story, the metaphor of the devil coming and tempting him. Well, this is just an inner realization of what is, and is the last step, the last piece that's required, which is letting go of this ego, this idea that we have to do something to become better, to have more stuff, to control, to manipulate, to be in charge. All these things we have to let go of. And so this is the final piece. He sees the possibility and he goes, no. No, because if I do that, that keeps me separate. If I do that, that keeps me outside. Because now I am manipulating and controlling and running things. And the way this really works is that there's only one thing happening. And if I participate with that consciously, then everything is always perfect. There isn't anything that I need to do. There isn't anything that I'm compelled by. There is no desire that needs to be fulfilled. Everything just works naturally, automatically. And my whole purpose now, seeing this, knowing this, my whole purpose, my whole reason for being is just to be able to share this, to be able to allow everybody else to see what I see. So now my reason for being, what I show up for, is service. And my service is to reveal, to be the teacher, to be the one to show that it's possible for everybody to have this experience, that we're all made the same way. And so he talks about, toward the end of his ministry, he's praying in John, the mystical gospel. He's praying for his disciples, and then he's praying for everyone, and he's praying to God, to this higher consciousness, this higher reality. And he says, they're not in the world. I mean, they're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. We're in it. We're here. We're participating, but we're not of the world. We're not part of this dog-eat-dog cycle of ups and downs and backs and forth, unfulfilled desire, suffering, upset, fear, worry, anxiety. All that stuff is of the world, you know. And we are not of the world. We are not worried. We're not anxious. We recognize, we know that we are part of the wholeness of this one reality, that we are expressions of God. Perfect, already. Everything's fine. Nothing needs to be fixed. Nothing needs to be changed because it's all one thing in expression. So we are in the world. We are here participating, but we are not part of this limited consciousness. We are not of the world. We're all the same. We're all in this together. I'm not special. We are one. We are immortal spiritual beings. We are in the middle of God's dream. I love it. You know, the yogis, the Hindus, they talk about Leela. It's the name for my motorcycle. My license plate says Leela. This is God's play as the world. God's dreaming this world. In my simple way, I talk about the big dreamer. I don't talk about God. I just talk about the big dreamer. And the big dreamer is doing a great job here dreaming up this reality, you know? Whenever we stop, just stop like we did a little while ago. We just stopped and meditated. We sit in the silence. We become quiet. And in that space, in that liminal space, everything's perfect. Everything's okay. There isn't anything that we need to do because this really is our natural condition. And it's this liminal space, this quiet space, that is the jumping off point for everything that happens in our future. Every place that we go, everything that we're going to do, every opportunity we have comes out of this moment and the choices that we make and the direction that we take. See? But we have to be comfortable in this moment because in any one of these moments, if we're not stuck in the past or if we're not anchored to something in the future, if we're okay in this moment, we know that we are aware that we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know where the future is going to take us. We don't know. We have to trust totally. We have to have faith that this universe is supportive and nurturing, that there is a direction, that grace is operative in our life, that the unfolding path is perfect before us. That's trust, you see. And so it's in this space of not knowing, uncertainty, stepping out into the unknown again and again and again and again. This is the liminal space, the unknown, the intersection between what we have known, where we have been, and where we're going, which we don't know. And we're really honest about it. We think we know. You know, we make plans, and we live in the stories about our plans, but who anybody here, is your life working the way you planned it to be 10 years ago? No, it never does. You know, it always comes out different because we have not a clue. But we think we have a clue. We think that we can manipulate. We think that we can make plans. We think that if we get it right, that somehow we'll be able to control and manipulate the future to make it pleasant and that we'll be better off and, you know, and everything will work. People will like us. We'll have respect, prosperity. We'll have everything we need. All this stuff is going to work out perfectly if we just get it fixed up right. But it doesn't work like that. The way it works is that there is the grace, the universe is moving, that this whole life that we have is like this river, and it has a direction, and it's flowing, and it's unfolding, and we're all in this together. We're all like the individual molecules of this river, and as such, we interact with each other. We, our strings, our connections are all tightly woven together, and we pull on each other, and life continues to lead us and guide us and present us with opportunities, and we're flowing through this process. And we don't know what that process is. We don't know where this river ends up. All we know is that if we are awake, and if we are not stuck, if we are not stuck and anchored in fear and worry and doubt, if we're not stuck and we allow ourselves to live in that liminal space and to be okay with the unknown, that everything's going to be fine. What was that movie? The Marigold Hotel? Yeah, the last line in that, you remember that? In the end, everything's all right. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. You know, that's perfect. Wonderful. I was making my notes, and sometimes I get these images and wax a little bit poetic. So this morning I was writing, and this little image came to me. The main obstacle to living here in between, in this liminal asynchronous, outside of the chains of time, is fear. The fear that a future moment might be painful, the pain of rejection or failure or disease or calamity or loss or judgment. For many, fear has become sort of a safe harbor, an anchor against change, against the unknown. And so I glance back at a sea of fellow travelers bobbing endlessly up and down as the oceanic swells of grace pass, lifting them up for a moment as they cling tenaciously to these fragile anchors, reaching deep into the bottomless depths of fear. Meanwhile, balanced on a sliver of faith, trust, devotion, and service and love, I joyfully rocket, dancing across this wave of grace, now crested and in full force, that carries me unfailingly toward an unknown distant shore. No longer concerned with the destination, I just simply delight in the journey. So we have an opportunity to be and to live in this life and to be joyful, and it's a choice, right? It's a choice. So I brought this little poem from Rumi. It says, "Not here. There's courage involved if you want to become truth. There's a broken open place in a lover. Where are those qualities of bravery and sharp compassion in this group? What's the use of the old and the frozen thought? I want a howling hurt. This is not a treasury where gold is stored. This is for copper. We alchemists look for talent that can change, that can heat up. Lukewarm won't do. Half-hearted holding back, well enough, getting by, not here." So we are encouraged to be bold, to be brave, to be visionaries, to recognize that life really does have an agenda. It has brought us to where we are right now, in spite of ourselves. And all the best things that have ever happened to us have not happened because we figured things out. They have happened because for some brief moment, we have been open to an opportunity that has presented itself and taken the ride, taken the chance, moved ourselves ahead. This is how it's been. We can look back and see this. We know this is true. So having this realization, this awareness that this is how it works, it behooves us to take the chance to allow ourselves to participate in this process and do this consciously, to say, okay, the liminal space, the space in between, the intersection, is right now. Everything that's ever happened in the past is done. Everything that's ever going to happen in the future is completely unknown. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to come out. And so all I can do is to trust life, to trust God, to have faith, and to open myself to the grace, the support, the nurturing, supportive grace that is all around. And so now I just listen for what the calling is. What does life want to do through me? What does life want to do as me? Because we are always taken care of, we don't have to worry about what's in it for us. We don't have to be like when Jesus was finished with his 40 days and 40 nights, standing there, recognizing that he can change things and he can manipulate things and he can make things happen, and he recognizes that this is not the way. This is not the way. The way is to just listen, to say, what do we need? What do I need to do? Where is my calling? How can I serve? How can I keep my heart open? How do I keep trust and faith active as principles in my life? How do I do that? See? And then we listen for the answer, and then we move ahead with courage. And we trust that we don't know, and it's okay. And it's an adventure, you know? It's like you don't want to read the last chapter of the book when you first pick it up. You don't want to know how the story is going to come out. Let's have the story. Let's have the adventure. See, let's go step by step and trust that the next step is going to be amazing, perfect, wonderful. And we can do this. So, liminal, between the intersection, between the past and the future, between the known and the unknown, between what is and what can be. There's where we want to live. So let's just take another minute now and just breathe. And breathe into this moment. Just this moment, right here, right now. There's nothing to do, no place to go. And as we notice our breath, we hear the river. We are reminded that the joy of music comes because we can let each note go. Just let it go, not cling. And these little spaces between the notes are what make the music happen. And so each moment in our life, we let go. We don't cling. And we appreciate the spaces between these moments to give a rhythm, a music for our life. And as we rest in being, we are aware that we share this one consciousness with all of our spiritual brothers and sisters here in this family. We feel our presence. The Holy Spirit moves between us and among us. This feeling, the sensation of connection, oneness, wholeness. And so we feel ourselves to be whole on all levels, moving in harmony with this one life, which has one intention, and that is to express and to be joyful. And so once again, we are reminded that everything is in divine order, and we are so thankful, so grateful for all of our many, many blessings. Om. Peace. Amen.